Chapter 1. Black Pyramid. Nagashizar, the Silent City. At the heart of the realm of death, the Undying King waited on his basalt throne. He sat in silence, counting the moments with a patience that had worn down mountains and dried out seas. Spiders wove their webs across his eyes, and worms burrowed in his bones. But he paid them no mind. Such little lives were beneath the notice of Nagash. His awareness was elsewhere, bent towards the great work. Then Nagash stiffened, alert. Purple light flared deep in the black sockets of his eyes. The scattered facets of his perceptions contracted. The disparate realm slid away, as all his attentions focused on Shaiish and the lands he claimed for his own. Something was wrong, a flaw in the formulas, something unforeseen. The air pulsed with raw, primal life. It beat upon the edges of his perceptions like a hot wind. He shrank down further still, peering through the eyes of his servants, the skeletal guardians that patrolled the streets endlessly. He saw green. Not the green of vegetation, but dark green. The solid green musculature of things that should not be in Nagashizar. He heard the thunder of rawhide drums and tasted a hot animal stink on the air. Something was amiss. Inconceivable. And yet it was happening. Nagash shook off the dust of centuries and forced himself to his feet. The creaking of his bones was like the toppling of trees. Bats and spirits spun in a shrieking typhoon about him as he strode from his silent throne room, shaking the chamber with every step. He was trailed as ever by 9 heavy tomes chained to his form. The flabby, fleshy covers of the grimoires writhed and snapped like wild beasts at nearby spirits. He cast open the great black iron doors, startling those of his servants in the pillared forecourt beyond. That the fleshless lords of his death-rattle legions were gathered here, before the doors of his throne room, rather than seeing to their duties, only stoked the fires of his growing anger.
"Arkan," he rasped, in a voice like a tomb wind. "Attend me."
"I am here, my king."
Arkan the Black, Mortark of Sacrament and vizier to the Undying King, stepped forwards, surrounded by a gaggle of lesser liches. The wizened, long-dead sorcerers huddled in Arkan's shadow, as if seeking protection from the god they had served briefly in life and now forever in death. Unlike his subordinates, Arkan was no withered husk, for all that he lacked any flesh on his dark bones. Clad in robes of rich purple and gold, and wearing warplate of the same hue, he radiated a power second only to that of his master. Nagash knew this to be so, for he had made a gift of that power in days long gone by. Arkan was the Hand of Death, and the Castellan of Nagashizar. He was the vessel through which the will of Nagash was enacted. He had no purpose save that which Nagash gifted him.
"Speak, my servant. What transpires at the edges of my awareness?"
"Best you see for yourself, my lord. Words cannot do it justice."
Though Arkan lacked any expression except a black-toothed rictus, Nagash thought his servant was amused. Arkan turned and swept out his staff of office, scattering liches and spirits from their path, as he led his master to one of the massive balconies that clustered along the tower's length. At his gesture, death-rattle guards, clad in the panoply of long-extinct kingdoms, fell into a protective formation around Nagash. While the Undying King had no particular fear of assassins, he was content to indulge Arkan's paranoia.
"We appear to have an infestation of vermin, my lord," Arkan said as they stepped onto the balcony. Quite persistent vermin, in fact.
Razarak, Arkan's dread abyssal mount, lay sprawled upon the stones, feasting on a keening spirit. The beast, made from bone and black iron, its body a cage for the skulls of traitors and cowards, gave an interrogative grunt as its master strode past. It fell silent as it caught sight of Nagash and returned to its repast. Many-pillared Nagash's are, the silent city, spread out before him. It was a thing of cold, beautiful calculus, laid out according to the ancient formulas of the corpse geometries. A machine of stone and shadow, intricate in its solidity, comfortable in its predictability. It was a place of lightless avenues of black stone, veined with purple, and empty squares, where dark structures rose in grim reverence to his will. These Cyclopean monuments were made from bricks of shade glass, the vitrified form of the collected grave sands. Harder than steel and polished smooth, the towering edifices resonated with the winds of death. Nagash-Izzar had been made from the first mountain to rise from the eternal seas. There had been another city like it once, in another time, in another world. And Nagash had ruled it as well. Now all that was left of that grand kingdom were threadbare memories, which fluttered like moths at the edges of his consciousness. Those memories had taken root here, and grown into a silent memorial, or perhaps a mockery. Even Nagash did not know which it was. Regardless, Nagash-Izzar was his, as it had always been and always would be. Such was the constancy of his vision. But now, that vision was being tested. Nagash detected a familiar scent. The air throbbed with the beat of savage drums and bellowing cries. Muscular, simian shapes, clad in ill-fitting and crudely wrought armor, loped through the dusty streets of Nagash-Izzar. Aurochs, the bestial, primitive children of Gorkamorka. Below, phalanxes of skeletal warriors assembled in the plazas and wide avenues, seeking to stem the green tide, but to no avail. The Aurochs shook the ground with the joyful fury of their charge. A roaring maw crusher slammed through a pillar, sending chunks of stone hurtling across the plaza. It trampled the dead as it loped through their ranks, and the Auroch crouched on its back whooped in satisfaction. The Aurochs were the antithesis of the disciplined armies facing them. For them, warfare and play were one and the same, and they approached both with brutal gusto. They brawled with the dead, bellowing nonsensical challenges to the unheeding tomb legions. There was no objective here save destruction. Unless... Nagash turned towards the center of the city, where the flat expanse of the Black Pyramid towered over the skyline. It was the greatest and grandest of the monuments he'd ordered constructed. Unlike its smaller kin, hundreds of which dotted Shaiish, the Black Pyramid was the fulcrum of his efforts. Its apex stretched down into Necroheim, the underworld below Nagash-Izzar, while its base sprawled across the city, a colossal structure built upside down at Shaiish's heart. A flicker of unease passed through him as he considered the implications of the sudden assault. It was not a coincidence. It could not be. He looked at Arkan.
Where did they come from?
The Mortark motioned southwards with his staff.
Through the jackal's eye, he said.
Nagash's gaze sharpened as he followed Arkan's gesture. The jackal's eye was a realm gate, leading to the Gurish hinterlands. There were many such dimensional apertures scattered across this region, pathways between Shaiish and the other mortal realms. They were guarded at all times by his most trusted warriors, or so he had commanded a century or more ago. As if privy to his master's thoughts, Arkan said,
Whoever let them pass through will be punished, my lord. I will see to it personally.
If the Aurochs are here, then whoever was guarding the gate is no more. The reasons for their failure are of no interest to me.
Nagash considered the problem before him. Then, as was his right as god and king, he passed it to another, one whose entire purpose was to deal with such trivialities.
Arkan, see to the disposal of these creatures.
Nagash looked down at his Mortark. Arkan met his gaze without flinching. Fear, along with almost everything else, had been burned out of the Lich in his millennia of servitude.
I go to bring the great work to its conclusion before it is undone by this interruption.
As you command, my lord. Arkan struck the black stones of the balcony with the ferrule of his staff. Razarak heaved itself to his feet with a rustling hiss. The dread abyssal stalked forwards, and Arkan hauled himself smoothly into the saddle. He caught up the reins and glanced at Nagash.
I am your servant, as ever.
Nagash detected something that might have been disdain in Arkan's flat tones. Of course, such was impossible. The Mortark was no more capable of defying Nagash than the skeletons trudging through the wastes. And yet, he seemed to, in innumerable small ways, as if there were a flaw in him, or in Nagash himself. For a moment, the facets of Nagash's being hesitated. Then, as ever, the black machinery that passed for his soul righted itself and continued on. He had been mistaken. There was no defiance, only loyalty. All were one in Nagash, and Nagash was all.
Go, he said, the stentorian echo of his command causing the air itself to shudder and crack.
With a sharp cry, the Mortark urged his steed into a loping run. The skeletal monstrosity galloped across the balcony and flung itself into the air. The winds of death wrapped protectively about both rider and steed, carrying them towards the battle. A moment later, a cyclone of howling, tortured spirits streamed past Nagash and spiraled into the air in pursuit of the Mortark. He watched as they hurtled upwards and away, a cacophonous fog of murderous specters, twisted and broken by his will into a shape suited to their task. They had been criminals, murderers, and traitors in life. And now in death, they were bound in stocks and chains, afflicted with terrible hungers that could never be sated. Nagash knew himself to be a just god, whatever else. He turned away, satisfied. Arkan would see it done, or be destroyed in the attempt. The Mortark had been destroyed before, and would be again. Always Nagash resurrected him. His term of service had no end, for so long as the Undying King required his services. He cast his gaze back towards the Black Pyramid and let his body crumble to dust and bone. Even as it came apart, his mind was racing through the confines of the pyramid like an ill wind. Its interior was a labyrinth of impeccably placed tunnels and passageways, all polished to a mirror sheen. These pathways resonated with the energies of the etheric void that encompassed and permeated the mortal realms, invisible and inescapable. Construction had begun in the depths below Nagash-Azar, in the underworld of Necroheim, the wells from which all other underworlds had sprung. The dead of entire civilizations had surrendered their bones to form the walls and ceiling of the cavernous reaches of the underworld. The vast expanse was lit by a dead sun, the flickering wraith of an ancient orb long since snuffed, stretched upwards from the deepest pit in the underworld.
Its sickly radiance cast shrouds of frost and fog wherever it stretched, and an eternal corona of wailing souls orbited it. Now, that sun churned malignantly, its incandescent heart pierced by a capstone crafted from purest gravesand. He had placed that capstone himself with his own hands. Only through his magics and the fluid nature of Necroheim had such a feat of engineering been possible. The Black Pyramid had blossomed from that point, spreading outwards and upwards with glacial certainty. Once, the Black Pyramids had been the wellsprings of his power, designed to draw in the souls of the dead like fish in a net. Most were gone now, reduced to rubble by the rampaging armies of the ruinous powers. But this one eclipsed them all, in both size and purpose. Every element of its construction was bent towards drawing the raw stuff of magic itself, from the edges of Shaiish to its heart. The greatest concentration of those magics which sustained the realm of death would be refracted and reflected through the pyramid. Thus would the raw magics be refined into a more useful form. It had been constructed over the course of eons, assembled by generations of artisans, both alive and dead. And now it was complete, awaiting only his presence to fulfill its function. His spirit raced through the passageways, and where he passed, the skeletal servitors scattered throughout them twitched into motion, following their master into the hollow heart of the pyramid. This central chamber spread outwards from the structure's core, from capstone to base, banded by pillared tiers, one for each level of the pyramid. As Nagash's spirit billowed into the immense chamber like a black cloud, silent overseers, stationed among the pillars, stirred for the first time in centuries. They directed the new arrivals onto the assemblage of walkways and ledges that extended from the tiers towards the hundreds of platforms that clung to the central core of the pyramid. The core stood in stark contrast to the orderly nature of the rest of the structure. It was a contorted spine of jagged shade glass, reaching from the interior of the capstone up to a glittering field of amethyst stalactites that spread across the pyramid's base. A web of shimmering strands stretched out from the core in quaquaversal spillage. The core and its calcified web were covered in innumerable facets of varying sizes and shapes, all of which shone with a malevolent energy. To Nagash, that light was almost blinding. It throbbed with morbid potential, and he felt the Black Pyramid's monstrous hunger almost as keenly as his own. It clawed greedily at his essence, but he resisted its pull with an ease born of long exposure. It feasted on the strength of the realm, battening on the winds of death, as he would feast on it in his turn. His death-rattle slaves entered the chamber, and many of the skeletal laborers were ripped from their feet and drawn into a sudden crackling storm of amethyst energies as Nagash drew their essences into his own. With brisk efficiency, he disassembled the unliving slaves and reassembled them into a new body for himself. The god of death flexed a newly fashioned hand, feeling the weight of new bones. Satisfied, he stepped onto the largest of the walkways. Ancient warriors, clad in rusty, age-blackened armor, knelt as he passed through their ranks. Death-rattle champions and lords, the kings and queens of 100 fleshless fiefdoms, humbled themselves before the one they acknowledged as their god and emperor both. The diminished husks of slaves and artisans abased themselves, groveling before the master of their destinies. Nagash surveyed the silent ranks and was pleased. At the urging of the overseers, skeletons trooped across the walkways to the great platforms clinging to the core. Occupying each platform was a millstone-like ring of shade glass, dotted with turning spokes of bone. These lined the core's length, from top to bottom, one atop the next, rising upwards along the spine. Strange sigils marked the crudely carved circumference of each ring, and these glowed with a pallid radiance.
"The time has come," Nagash said, as the last of the skeletons assumed its position.
The walls of the shaft hummed in time to his words. As one, his servants stiffened, their witch-light gazes fixed upon him.
"Go to your prepared places and bend yourself against the wheel of progress. Let it turn, and time itself be ground between the stones of my will."
The fleshless shoulders of princes and slaves alike bent to the spokes of each wheel. As the skeletons pushed against the spokes, the stone rings began to move. A thunderous, grinding growl filled the air. Violet lightning flashed across the facets of the web and sprang outwards, striking the polished walls of the shaft. A rumble began far below. It shuddered upwards through the pyramid, shaking it to its upside-down foundations. Loose grave sand sifted down like dry rain. Nagash, still standing atop the largest walkway, stretched out a talon, gathering together the strands of crackling energy that seared the air. With precise, calculated movements, he looped the shimmering skeins of magic about his forearms, as if they were chains. The skeins flared, burning as he pulled them taut, but he ignored the pain. After all, what was pain to a god? Facing the core, Nagash gathered more and more of the skeins, and his titanic form became a conductor. Amethyst lightning crawled across him, winnowing into the hollow places and filling him with strength enough to crack the vaults of the heavens. This was not the raw magic that soured the edges of his realm, but a purified form. He hauled back on the strands of magic he held, lending his strength to that of his servants. As they pushed, he pulled, forcing the great machinery into motion. Around him, the faceted walls began to shift and scrape, as slowly, surely, the Black Pyramid began to revolve on its capstone, as he had designed it to do. The structure rotated faster and faster. The dead sun beneath it flared brightly as if in panic, and then burst with a cataclysmic scream that shook Necroheim to its intangible roots. Rivers of cold fire streaked up the sides of the pyramid, flowing towards the base, or else washed across the cavern walls. Necroheim itself shuddered, as if wounded. The cavern floor began to churn and shift. Millions of bones clattered as the rotation of the pyramid drew them in its wake. Like some vast, calcified whirlpool, the entirety of the underworld was soon in motion. A storm of bones and tattered spirits spinning about the ever-turning pyramid. Within the pyramid's heart, Nagash felt and saw all of this in the polished walls of shade glass. He saw the streaks of purple light stretching out, flowering into storms of raging elemental fire as they broke through the borders that separated Necroheim from the other underworlds. The purple light dug into the metaphysical substance of these other realms, hooking them the way a meat hook might sink into a side of beef. Steadily, they were drawn towards Necroheim, becoming part of the growing maelstrom. Nagash threw back his head and bellowed. He felt as if he was on the cusp of dissolution, as if the monstrous energies he sought to manipulate now threatened to rip him asunder. Only his will prevented him from succumbing to the forces he'd unleashed. A lesser god would have dissolved into howling oblivion. He clawed at the storm of magic, drawing more of it into himself, pulling the world-spanning chains tight. Outside the pyramid, Necroheim was crumbling, changing shape. The underworld bent beneath the oscillating structure, bowing up around it, becoming something new. The reverberations rippled outwards across Shaiish. Through the eyes of his servants, Nagash saw the skies above Nagash-Azar turn purple-black. Aurochs wailed as their green flesh sloughed from their bones, and they collapsed in on themselves. Billions of skull-faced beetles poured down from the swirling clouds, devouring those green skins that were still in one piece. Nagash laughed, low, loud, and long, as the ground beneath Nagash-Azar began to buckle and sink. Soon every realm would feel the echoes of what he did here. Reality would shape itself to accommodate his will. His laughter ceased as shade glass cracked and splintered all around him. Something moved within the polished depths. They came slowly, drifting through the dark. Vast impressions with no definable shape or form. The air of the chamber stank of hot iron and spoiled blood, of sour meat and strange incenses. He heard the rasp of sharp-edged feathers and the clank of great chains. He felt the flutter of unseen flies clustering about his skull, and their hum filled the hollows of his form. Something that might have been a face slipped across the cracked facets. It gibbered soundlessly, but Nagash heard its words nonetheless. It spoke in a voice that only gods could discern, spewing curses. He turned as something that might have been a blade, wreathed in fire, struck another facet. More cracks shivered outwards from the point of impact. Nagash did not flinch. To his left, enormous talons as of some great bird scratched at the shade glass, while opposite them a flabby paw shape, filthy and sore-ridden, left streaks of bubbling excrescence along the facets. Eyes like dying stars fixed him with a glare, and a howl shook Necroheim to its roots. Great fangs made from thousands of splintered swords and molten rock gnashed in elemental fury. Nagash lifted a hand in mocking greeting.
Hail, old horrors. I see that I have your attention.
The ruinous powers had come like sharks, stirred from the deep places by a storm, as he'd known they would. They came roaring, thrusting the barest edges of their inhuman perceptions into his realm. Was it curiosity that had drawn them so, or fear? He felt their awareness as a sudden pressure upon him, as if a great weight had fallen on him from all angles. The immensities circled him through the facets of the walls, prowling like beasts held at bay by firelight.
But you are too late. It is begun.
Something bellowed, and great claws of brass and fire pressed against the reverse of the shade glass, cracking it. An avian shadow peered down through the facets of the ceiling, whispering in many voices. The stink of rot and putrefaction choked the air. Had any of his servants been alive, they might have suffocated from the stench. Voices like the groaning of the earth or the death screams of stars cursed him and demanded he cease. He cast his defiance into their teeth.
Who are you to demand anything of me? I am Nagash. I am eternal. I have walked in the deep places for long enough, and have gathered my strength. I will shatter mountains and dry the seas.
He turned as they circled him, keeping them in sight.
I shall pull down the sun and cast the earth into the sky. All of time will be set aflame, and all impurities in the blood of existence burnt away by my will and mine alone. There shall be no gods before me, and none after.
He gestured sharply.
All will be Nagash. Nagash will be all.
As the echo of his words faded, something laughed. A ghost of a sound, no more substantial than the wind. Nagash paused. Something was wrong. Belatedly, he realized that the ruinous powers would not have come unless there was some amusement to be had. Not the Oryx, but something else. Some other flaw in his design.
"What mischief have you wrought?" he intoned.
He found it a moment later. Familiar soul scents, bitter and tarry, wafted on the currents of power flowing through the edifice. Tiny souls, these, like bits of broken glass. The Skaven spoke in hissing, squealing tones as they scuttled through the pyramid, wrapped in cloaks of purest shadow. He did not know by what magics the Ratkin had avoided the guardians of this place. Nor did he care. That they were here, now, was the only important thing. It seemed the Oryx were not the only ones who had come seeking the treasures of Nagash-Azar. He looked up, into the insubstantial faces of his foes.
"Is this, then, the best you can do? You send vermin to stop me?"
The laughter of the dark gods continued, growing in volume. Incensed, a part of his consciousness sheared off and slipped into the depths of the pyramid, seeking the origin of the disturbance, while the rest of him concentrated on completing the ritual he'd begun. His penumbral facet swept through the passages and pathways like a cold wind, but moving far more swiftly than any natural gust. He found them in the labyrinthine depths, chipping away at the very foundation stones of the pyramid. Their desire for the vitrified magics was palpable. The Skaven had ever been a greedy race. How long had they been here, pilfering the fruits of his labors? How had they gone unnoticed until now? As their tools scraped at the bricks of shade glass, crackles of purple lightning flowed through the walls. The more they collected, the greater the destabilization became. Nagash watched the arcs of lightning, tracing their routes and calculating the destruction they would wreak. Somewhere, at the bottom of the deep well of his memories, something stirred, and he had the vaguest impression that all of this had happened before. The pyramid, his triumph, the Skaven, it all felt suddenly, awfully familiar. God though he was, he could not well recall his existence before Sigmar had freed him, though he knew that he had existed. He had always existed. But he could recall only a few scattered moments, frozen in his recollections like insects in amber, instances of pain and frustration, of triumph and treachery. Was that what this was? Had he lived through this moment, or something like it, before? Was that why the dark gods laughed so? He paused, considering. The black clockwork of his mind calculating. The mortal realms were something new, built on the bones of the old. They were merely the last iteration of the universal cycle, and would one day shatter and reform, as had countless realities before them. As sure as the scythe reaped the grain, all things ended. Nagash knew this and understood, for he was death, and death was the only constant. But what if there had been a time that he had not been as he was? And what if that time might come again? What if this was the first step towards that unthinkable moment? And what if he had walked this path before, always with the same beginning and same ending? Driven by this thought, Nagash let his essence fill the corridor like a graveyard mist, though his body remained in the core, racked by amethyst lightning. He felt a bite of pain as the rite continued, and he rose up over the Ratkin, crackling with wrath. He crushed the closest, snaring it in a foggy talon. At its demise, he pushed all doubt aside. If this moment had happened before, so be it. The outcome would change, must change. He would hold fast to his course, whatever the consequences. He would not, could not be denied. Time itself would buckle before him. Skaven squealed and scuttled away, fleeing the damp coils of fog. The slowest perished first, bits of shade glass clattering to the floor as they convulsed and died. The mist filled their contorted forms, dragging them upright and sending them in pursuit of their fellows. The dead ratkin clawed at those they caught, ripping gobbets of fur and meat from their cringing forms. The Skaven descended into an orgy of violence, hacking and stabbing at one another in their panic, unable to tell friend from foe. If this was the first step, he had taken it, and there was nothing to be done. If not, then he still had a chance to see his design through. As the last of the intruders perished in fear and madness, Nagash dismissed them from his thoughts. Their remains would join the rest of his chattel. There were more important matters to attend to now. The presence of the intruders had thrown off the delicate balance of the pyramid's function. He could feel it in the curdled marrow of his bones. They had polluted it somehow, tainted his great work. That had been their purpose all along. He could see it now. An antithetical formula let loose among the corpse geometries to gnaw at the roots of his perfect order. An artificial miscalculation meant to break him. Always they sought to despoil the order he brought. Always they made sport of his determination. They sent their servants to cast down his temples and inflicted 100 indignities upon his person. Again and again they drove him to the earth, chaining him in one grave after another. They set stones upon him and sought to bury him where he might be forgotten forevermore. The laughter of the ruinous powers shook the pyramid, and shade glass fissured all about him. They thought him beaten. They thought that once more he would be cast down into a cairn of their making, to be safely ignored until the next turn of the wheel. Anger pulsed through him, and amethyst light flared from the cracks in his bones. He was not beaten, and he would never be buried again.
"Stand not between the Undying King and his chosen course, little gods," Nagash said. "Nagash is death, and death cannot be defeated."
As he spoke, his thoughts raced through the structure, seeking a way to compensate for the damage. He was too close to fail now. There must be a way. There was a way. He merely had to divine it. Skeletons were caught up in a grave wind, disassembled and reconstructed as Nagash took shape at the points of greatest stress. Many undying kings rose up, 100 eyes and 100 hands, driven by one will. These aspects of him set their shoulders against collapsing archways or braced sagging walls.
"I will not be undone, not again,"
the words echoed from the mouths of each of his selves as they fought against the pyramid's dissolution, a chorus of denials. Shade glass cracked and splintered as the oscillation sped up. Blocks of vitrified sand shifted and split, sliding from position to crash down around him. But still, the Black Pyramid revolved. Nagash reached out with mind and form, seeking to hold the edifice together through sheer determination. Despite his efforts, sections peeled away and crumbled to dust. Passages collapsed, pulverizing thousands of servitors. The core twisted as if in pain. Cracks raced along its length, leaking tarry magic. The mechanisms of rotation ruptured and burst, hurled aside by the core's convulsions. Skeletons were dashed against the walls or sent tumbling into the depths of the pyramid. Nagash ignored all of this, focused on containing the magics that now surged all but unchecked and unfiltered through the structure. The power burned through him, threatening to consume him, but he held tight to it. His great work would not be undone, not like this.
I will not be defeated by vermin. I will not be humbled by lesser gods. I am Nagash. I am supreme.
His denial boomed out, echoing through the pyramid. Through the eyes of innumerable servants, he saw Shaiish fold and bend like a burial shroud, caught in a cold wind. Wild magic raced outwards across the amethyst sands. Across the realms, a rain of black light wept down from the convulsing sky. A million forgotten graves burst open. In vaulted tombs, the honored dead awoke. Spirits stirred in shadowed bowers and hidden places. Nagash roared wordlessly and drew the power to him, refusing to let it escape. It was his, and he would not let it go. Let the realms crack asunder. Let the stars burn out. Let silence reign. Nagash would endure. He could feel the realm buckling around him, changing shape, even as the dark gods laughed mockingly. Reality itself shook like a tree caught in a hurricane wind, until, all at once, their laughter ceased. And in the long silence that followed, death smiled.